No. Okay. All right. We're alive. Let's go. Leanne was just telling me now she got a motivational message from someone that's 27 minutes long.
Yeah, it's from my mom. It's called Focus on God, Not Your Problems.
So 27 minutes, huh? Would you be able to dedicate 27 minutes to God this morning, Leanne, or are you too good for God?
I'm so glad that my mom has that time. I'm being serious. She deserves it.
Okay.
You know, everybody actually really deserves a retirement.
Yes.
And to be able to be able to spend 27 minutes with God in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine a very serene existence, dedicating 27 minutes to communing with God. Mm. That's a great way to start
and
your day.
And bettering yourself and thinking of positive thoughts.
Absolutely.
Religion aside.
Yes. Now, you get to commune with James, who's in the studio here to give us a little bit of a recap of the sport for the weekend.
Hello.
So, hello, James. What happened?
I will tell you shortly. I actually just want to see what happened with Accrington Stanley.
No, nobody. No. Haven't we left them alone now?
We will never leave them alone.
Okay. All right.
In the world of football and sport. They lost 4-0 this weekend.
It's just a shit show for Accrington Stanley.
We've done them good.
I think when we started paying attention to them, it started getting worse and worse. Oh, all right, just leave them alone.
Someone else who it seems to be getting worse for is Liverpool, though.
Yes.
Because they lost this weekend, 3-2 to Fulham. Still top of the log, still winning the league. Hmm. So that happened this weekend. I had a little cry. And then I moved on because that's what you got to do.
But did you actually cry?
No.
I need to understand something about real sports fans. And you claim to be a Liverpool fan.
I have.
All right. And have you got the bidding?
I used to, but when I was much younger, not like last year.
What, when you were 11?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, right, fine.
It was like red and really bright. And
yeah, don't be embarrassed by that. My nephews are, 10 and 8, and they have all kinds of soccer memorabilia and stuff around them all the time.
Mm.
But what age do you stop using the linen from Accrington Stanley, for example? when do you sell your Accrington Stanley duvet?
Probably when these people have got married. But they want to.
You mean before then?
Yes.
Until a wife tames them, they are such fucking.
Go and plant yourself in Liverpool and use Tinder and see what profile pictures come up.
You're actually probably not wrong, eh?
Oh, no.
Really?
So they get married, but they never stop wishing that they had that linen. I can't live with that mindset.
Wow, guys are pathetic. We often criticize men and women on the show, but this is now a new low. You reckon that only when they get married do some of these guys give up that linen?
Yeah.
The Liverpool or Man United or
100%.
Unbelievable. That's their happy place until then. And it takes a wife to civilize them.
Mm. But they will never stop wishing.
God, how pathetic.
Sometimes in the UK, it's also like it's not weird for
the
you
wife.
Being married and your couple, your bedroom is also themed as a whatever
true.
Team you guys support. Or
the wife may be in on it, and it'll be a shrine to
Accrington Stanley.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
100%.
Life peaks.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you see, I never had that funny bedding. It's just was never a thing. But I can understand. Fine. All right. What time of your life did you eventually get rid of that?
Sure. I'm not actually sure. Probably
early
not after.
Early teens?
Not long after 11, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was.
It starts getting embarrassing.
It's true. I do think back to it. And Liverpool, because they're red, there was a lot of red going on in my bedroom. So.
Not great.
Oh, red
All right,
flag.
So tell us about the other football.
The other football that happened this weekend, Arsenal drew 1-1 to the other club that's also in Liverpool, Everton. Spurs, they won 3-1. And in a very boring Manchester derby, both teams drew 0-0.
Ugh.
Liverpool is still top of the log, though, which is all that matters. Arsenal in second, and Forest surprisingly in third. So the Premier League's starting to look like it did in 1991.
Yeah.
With Nottingham Forest being up there, Arsenal kind of challenging for stuff, and just Liverpool being the greatest ever. So it's a good time to be a football fan because Man City aren't doing much and neither are Man United. So that's the world of football.
I have nothing to add.
Great. In the world of Formula One, there was a Japanese Grand Prix this weekend. Max Verstappen took the win. He also set the fastest qualifying time on Saturday morning with 1 minute 26 odd seconds. Fastest time ever at that circuit in a Formula
One. So that's to do a lap around the whole circuit.
1 minute 26 something.
That's very quick.
Very, very fast. Those cars move.
And I mean, quickly. Also, because I often worry that these things must be boring for people. But that, you know, at 1 minute 23, it's like he's a blur. She goes past you so fast.
This weekend's race, though, was a little bit boring. Not much happened. Lots of just blurs. That was pretty much all that happened. Just a lot of blurs.
No accidents?
Nah, not really. There was one almost accident with Lando Norris and Max Verstappen, who are actually besties. So it was weird to see them have like a little moment on the track. But yeah, Max took the win. Nobody's beaten him there since 2019. The two McLaren cars came in second and third.
Okay.
So that's the Formula One this weekend. It was also the Singapore Sevens. Fiji won the men's while the Black Ferns took the women's trophy.
That's New Zealand.
Right? That's New Zealand, correct. And then the Blitzbox, they finished in ninth. They played Great Britain. They lost to them by quite a margin.
Poor ninth.
I know. We used to really do things quite these poor. Things, right?
Okay, yeah. I'm not impressed with that.
Yeah, the worst part about it, I think, is that we lost to Great Britain 38-10. Which is quite a scoreline. So yeah, that happened. Then the other world, the Rugby EPCR Cup, the Sharks fielded a second strong team against Lyon. And with that, they are no longer in the Cup. The Bulls have progressed to the quarters and will face Edinburgh as the only SA team left. And then lastly, the Investec Champions Cup. The big teams all went through with just Munster causing the only upset, taking down La Rochelle 24-25. And that is the sport.
All right. Well, we're all sitting on tenterhooks waiting to hear what you think of the great Russ Abbott song Atmosphere.
Love.
Because that's our big discovery of the weekend.
My new favorite artist.
At every party ever, that has to be the headlining song.
It will. It'll be my 50th birthday party too.
There we go. 50th. That's a long way off.
You would actually rather have that song playing in your life every day rather than that alarm.
Oh, that alarm. Anything. Has the alarm stopped?
It has.
I think I'd rather have the alarm.
Okay, so just in case you've just come in now, we all arrived here at the office this morning and this alarm was going off, but the loudest?
Yeah, it made your eyes water.
Ear-piercing noise of pain.
It made me want to...
Physical pain.
Yeah, it was sore, right? Flex, are you managing there? Still recovering as well. Okay. So you see, that's what we have to deal with here. All right. Thank you very much, James.
Thank you, guys.
Very, very good. I want you to see what someone sent. This is an Iranian TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before the Ayatollahs came.
Okay.
So while there was still the Shah in Iran, so pre-1979, I think it was. This is the kind of show that they used to have. Now, the clip starts with what kind of shit people have to watch now. And then it quickly goes to 1979 and what they watched before the crazy Ayatollahs took over. So take a look. Here's how it starts. صبحی که برای شب عاشق نگار سنگ صبوره بیا این تن و از سایه جدا کن دل تنگیم و از کنار کن بیا با غزل تازه ی چشما من و زار بردار خدا کن. Much happier in the past. Much and happier, right?
Much less
those,
crazy.
Those mullahs shouting at each other and all like trying to out-sing each other.
Not sure what's happening there.
It's not great. And Persian carpets everywhere. It's kind of a bit cliched.
Yeah.
But then the chick going, Muri Shikaduri or whatever she's saying, I think that's much happier.
Yeah.
And she looks, she doesn't have to wear the yashmak or whatever the fuck it's called. And she looks very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like a bit of a pedo moustache, but he looks very happy.
Yeah.
I think very good.
Sane.
See, so sometimes things don't progress. Sometimes they regress.
Yes.
That's the important lesson for us to learn today.
Exactly.
Mm. And then do you know what a dongfish is?
Does it look like one? Is it a fish that looks like one?
I will show you what a dong fish looks like, and then you will learn some other words that you didn't know existed. Here is a dong fish. Okay.
Oh.
The humgus.
It is hongus.
No, it's the humgus of a dong fish is attached by a skungle to a kind of dill sack.
In brackets.
The nut sack.
N-U-T-T-E sack.
All right, so there's a lot going on there, but okay. That is apparently a dong fish.
So it's a tiny little fish, quite nondescript, really.
Yeah.
But it has hanging from its belly
the humgus.
A little tiny tentacle with an enormous dingleberry.
Hmm. So there we go. And those words, skungle, dill sack, nut sack, humgus. I'm not sure what's going on there. But I thought, necessary for us to take a look at.
But you know what? If you read that, even though you don't know what those things are, it perfectly describes what's in the image.
Okay. You say so. Very good.
Like if you hadn't seen the fish and someone read you that description.
Still, I'd be confused.
You might get some of it right.
Okay. Well, do you remember the talented woman who brought us pubes for jewelry?
Oh, yes.
Now, she's got a latest offering, which is even more exciting than that. So just remind those
I'll
people
remind
who may
you.
Have missed out on the wonderful, salutary story of a woman who turned her pubic hair into jewelry.
It started quite innocently with not innocently, but it was many steps back, like a skin cell or a piece of hair or saliva even, and then it turned into blood. You know how some people will wear a vial of blood?
Yeah, didn't Angelina Jolie do that for a while?
Yes, and this is a quite a contemporary jewelry artist. She makes beautiful pieces. But the stuff that she uses to make them is getting more and more bizarre. But people are buying these things, and they're becoming, trendy. So the last time I saw was when she had pubes that were put into kind of like these little amber blobs. You could have your partner's pubes around your neck. Okay,
so I'll suspend this
is her latest. And instead of just playing her, because she's quite boring, it's narrated by one of my favorite TikTok stars.
All right, here we are. Go on, guys.
What on God's green earth is that?
A client sent in their semen sample.
Your client sent in what?
Their semen sample.
Why?
Processed it into a powder, and of course now I'm incorporating it into the clay for a wire-wrapped pendant.
Mary, Mother of Jesus, I'm sorry I asked.
Now, for part of the oval pendant, we want just the natural semen coloring.
Oh, it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Of course, I did have leftovers, so I made a complimentary cummy bear.
I'm sorry, love. You're going to have to repeat that again. A what bear?
Complimentary cummy bear.
Leave it out.
I always love when you guys bring new ideas that end up being so flipping cool.
I'm just confused as to what point in your life do you think? Do you know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to dehydrate semen. I'm just going to make it into jewelry.
And thank you for trusting me with the creative freedom aspect. I love you guys for that so much.
Listen, I know it's cost of living crisis and I really appreciate your entrepreneurial spirit, but have a day off.
I almost want to keep this for myself.
Oh, you absolute wrong'un. I'm on off this planet. And no more. No, too much internet.
I don't know. No, I don't know, Gareth.
All right, well.
I don't.
In the Middle Ages, if you'd collected fluids from someone, whatever fluids, blood, saliva, semen, whatever it was, and you'd done anything like make a pendant or a potion, they would have called you?
A witch.
And what do we do with witches?
We burn them.
Exactly. So find this woman and burn her. She's making
But
evil talismans. That's what she's doing.
No, no.
Let me tell you something. I discovered, and I think there are probably a lot of very messed up women and men out there who've had terrible relationships, and they would make something like this and use it for evil. Voodoo.
I do not have a problem with her.
You don't?
She can do that as much as she likes. I have a problem with people sending in their semen samples and wanting it to be put into a pendant so their partner can wear it. Those are the people I have a problem with. Not her. She can make stuff out of dongle fish balls for all I care.
Humguses.
She can, to her heart's content, let her sit in her, what do witches have?
A hut?
In her hut with her cauldron and let her make, to her heart's content, what she wants. But the day I maybe feel like wearing my partner's semen in a pendant, you need to do something for me and just kill me.
Okay. All right. I'm telling you, this stuff has been happening for years. It's not a big deal, this. American jizz. That's what they're calling it. AI can now take over. It seems like the human race is doomed anyway, says Dirk. I was just thinking that this is why witches got burnt at the stakes, says Dave. Exactly. Telling you. It's all happening. All right. Very, very good. make it stop. She turned me into a newt. Okay. We've got to move on. We've got important things to discuss here. We don't have all day to just be stupid. All right. So on the line, I just heard him cough, is Big Daddy Liberty. Hello, Sitlin Gobese. How are you?
A wonderful good morning to you. I hope you can hear me clearly. But
loud and clear.
On the show, Gareth, very weird segment there.
I know.
Which is working with semen.
Yeah.
I'm half expecting to enter her flat and see a cake with a swallow in there. But anyway. Yeah.
You know what? Can I tell you something? You're a Zulu man. You know what umtagati are, right?
Quite literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Umtagati.
Literally in this case.
Yeah.
But anyway, good to have me on the show.
Yeah, it is good to have you on the show. So listen, we've got a lot to talk about this morning. But first and foremost, are you making a comeback? Because you used to do regular stuff on the internet. You've got thousands and thousands of followers. You became one of the voices of reason. Lots of people, including me, used to see what you were up to, and it would help us to figure out what was going on in politics and society and the economy. All of this stuff. And then you took on a real job, and we haven't heard from you for a while. So what's happening?
Yes, it has been a rather interesting hiatus for a bit. But yeah, I'm happy to actually announce it perhaps here on The Real Network that I'll be doing exactly that, joining The Real Network as of this month. I don't know if you're trying to say something, Gareth.
No, that's good.
I just want to hear your voice. Okay,
that's
there
good.
We go. But nonetheless, I will be joining The Real Network. Indeed, the Big Daddy Liberty Show's Talking Point will be on this network, and we'll be providing the news analysis that you will get nowhere else except here.
Well, that is exciting because I find that it's very, very difficult to discern now who is honest and who can bring you stories and tell you the truth and help you to understand things. There are so many people who are doing the job of propaganda for God knows who, and we found out that you know, journalists in this country have been paid by NGOs and overseas money. We find out that many of our media houses are current platforms in South Africa that we've trusted for a long time are no longer trustworthy. It's very difficult to find people who you can actually take for granted and take seriously and consider as reputable sources for the news.
Mm. And again, that's effectively part of what the show Talking Point will be. It'll be us taking the major headlines that happen in a month and basically providing the analysis through a classically liberal lens that looks at the argument from all sides. You know, what do individuals from the left say about an issue? What do individuals from the right even say about the issue? And of course, how do we as South Africans, or how should we perhaps as we as South Africans, see the issues and of course then digest them with the view of taking action in whatever capacity people want to act in. And again, these people, let me take a second there to quickly say this. I'm not going to be leading anything or you know, telling people what they must do or whatever the case may be, but rather providing the tools, the analytical tools that we should be using to analyze the claims made by those who are in power in society. And let's just say this, being in power is a very familiar thing to me right now, but nonetheless, this is what the show will help people do, to unpack the gobbledygook, to unpack the rhetoric, and actually begin to hold people also to account for what they say and do.
Well, I want to ask you, since we're talking about this, it would be stupid of me to have you on the show, have you announce that you're going to start your own show and not talk about what's going on. So is the GNU going to fall apart? What do we know? And we've seen so much noise from all corners of the internet in the last while. We had our budget vote, which seems to have been a very close thing. What do you think, just based on entirely what you as Sihle Ngobese are watching politically unfold, not because of any inside info necessarily, but what do you think is going to happen with the GNU? Is it going to survive?
Well, also, let me just quickly put a disclaimer out. I do not have any inside info for as much as I am within the belly of the beast. I, too, in that sense, have skin in the game, and there is a lot of uncertainty. And perhaps it's that last word that I'll kick off in giving my sense of where we are at the moment. I do think the uncertainty is created effectively by two major reasons. And allow me 30 seconds to unpack this.
Go on.
The first is a political party who they know very well that they lost the previous election and South Africans rejected them having another electoral majority, giving them about 40%. And of course, I'm talking about the ANC in this regard. Yeah. This is a political party that one could argue is perhaps still going through the stages of grief. And acceptance isn't something they've quite fully gotten to yet. And we're seeing them play that out, right? Where there's a lot of pleading, there's a lot of effectively, you know, sorrow that they're going through, and a unwillingness to actually understand that they need to share power. That they actually, if they're going to create what they call a government of national unity that has all these parties in it, parties who, by the way, told us, that is the opposition parties, who told us ahead of the election that we should be voting against the status quo of the ANC insofar as its policy outlook and what it's been doing for the last 30 years, trying to roll out a socialist vision of the National Democratic Revolution. Get their documents, their policies. Mm-hmm. You know, you have these political parties that then entered the government on that understanding, that they're there to bring gradual reforms. And I use the word gradual because it would be foolish to believe that there would have been a wholesale change of everything in government. You know, things are always going to be a hard slog and a gradual fight. Indeed, it's on that basis that even people like me, who are very skeptical of politicians, actually joined politics in the sense of government, because the view was there is a very tiny sliver of opportunity here to actually bring real reform, gradual as it may be, into government, with the view of 2029 being the election where perhaps you might see more wholesale changes. So that was, again, my understanding of what was the whole intention of the GNU. So then it whittles down to where we are now, where that very same political party is resisting any attempt to bring any form of meaningful or even gradual change by way of the DA, having it played, of course, its hand in trying to use the budget as leverage to bring reform. That's what the DA was doing here. That's the sort of high-stakes brinkmanship that we've been seeing play out over the last few weeks, to which that leverage, if you will. And bear in mind, these opposition parties, whether they're within the GNU or outside of it, have very little leverage. Very little leverage that they can actually use to twist the arm, if you will, of the ANC into moving into a direction of change. And that leverage was using the budget to say, listen, we'll help you pass the budget as long as you pass reforms that actually achieve the very thing that we haven't had for the last, let's call it 15, 18 years, which is meaningful economic growth that brings the unemployment into the economy and actually allows people to have an income from an income savings and from savings purchase a higher standard of living. The fact that you have the ANC not wanting that should tell you everything you need to know around how these negotiations are playing out at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a very good analysis. But I look at some of these comments, and maybe you want to comment on the comments, but Votsako is saying, I used to be pro-GNU, but the DA leaving will lead to the ANC imploding. Dirk says it's now a pissing contest to see if the DA will resign or Cyril will fire them. The DA was opposed to the oppressive tax to muster the looting purse. People were saying it's an amazing thing. I even mentioned on Friday that you've got the DA, the EFF, and MK on one side. These are not normal bedfellows. No. You know, not people who you would ordinarily assume would have anything in common. They were saying no more taxes. The people of this country cannot handle any more tax. And on the other side, you've got the ANC and then these minnow parties, including Herman Mashaba and Musi Maimane and all the rest of them, who were falling in line to bring more taxes down on South Africans.
I mean, it's been a spectacular failure of political strategy by some of these political parties within and, of course, outside of the GNU, where they couldn't read the room. And the writing, insofar as the DA was painting it on the walls of Parliament in those various budget committees, was in bold font, which is, hey, man, we have some leverage here. Let's use it to get some things that we know will create the sort of South Africa that we want, or at least begin to move us in that direction. And here you have these small parties, and I'll name names. You know, here's Action SA with Herman Mashaba, and of course, Build One South Africa and a few more. Even the PA, rather disappointingly, really couldn't read that and say, hey, how can we get something for our constituents and South Africans broadly that bring the sort of reforms that we actually campaigned on prior to this election? This was their moment. And they simply fluffed it. Why? Because there's this weird belief that we're, you know, these parties are here to play, you know, rubber stamp or yes men to the ANC. That's not what the GNU should be about. And I think political parties within it should start defining that to say, hey, we're not here as spectators that, as John Steenhuisen said this past weekend, speaking in Phoenix at a DA event, you know, we're not there to be spectators. We're there to bring the sort of reforms that they promised to voters. And again, another quick disclaimer here, Gareth, because I must say it, I'm not a member of any political party. I'm not a, I'm not a card-carrying member of any political party. I just happen to work at the moment within a ministry.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that ministry is the agriculture ministry, but who knows what might happen there. So what is interesting here is, and I'd like to have your thoughts on Herman Mashaba and the unbelievable miscalculation they made, because it seems that they were trying to take credit for not raising taxes when in fact they were part of the, we are going to raise taxes lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Very confusing.
Again, this is the, yeah, you're right. This is the foolishness that we're beginning to see play out in some political parties. And what I mean by foolishness is a complete and utter lack of political strategy, the ability to see things before they happen. Again, I'm not saying they're witches, because that's how we entered the segment. But, you know, we there's a failure here. And also, we're beginning to see as South Africans, perhaps, other matters come to the fore. That are making parties decide how they act. And those matters could be political grudges between various political parties, because, again, it stupefies anybody that Action SA, for instance, would make that claim when South Africans can see that it's patently false. You know, whenever you have the ANC saying, oh, dear, we're being held by the balls here by, again, these references, considering the segment. But anyway, you know, we're being held by the balls here by small parties and the DA over the budgets and, you know, woe is us, what can we do? And the ANC then starts shopping around to be supported on this budget. And then you have these small parties that say, well, actually, why should we bother asking for any reforms that we campaigned on to South Africans? And let's give the ANC what they want. The very same status quo, high taxes, high spending and indeed wasteful spending budget that we've seen for the past 30 years. The very stuff that South Africans said we are tired of in the last election, it is a massive betrayal of South Africans for these small parties to simply give in to the ANC like that. And again, it speaks to how damaged perhaps they and maybe also to us rather as South Africans are, insofar as the political outlook and the lexicon. The ANC have successfully created a political universe, if you will, a bit like Marvel, where, yes, you have multiple characters and different storylines and multiverses, But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, they are the ones who control the multiverse to an extent. They define the overall language, the rules, if you will, yeah. of the multiverse. And that these characters, if you will, can't break past that, no matter what their individual trials and tribulations are. That's almost the most apt analysis one can use right now. And here you have the DA actually saying, actually, no, we're going to collect all those gemstones. We're going to collect all them gemstones and put it in a glove and try and snap our fingers. But at the point, almost at the point of snapping their fingers like Thanos to get their way, yeah. you know, Action is saying a few other parties stole that glove or at least the gemstone. So that's where we are at the moment. And I think the DA, again, much as I'm saying, you know, I don't support any political party, I do support what the DA have been doing and are still doing now, including taking this matter to court to perhaps have a review. And there's a whole line, a thread, or a stream of consciousness of analysis around that, because that, for me, right now, will make or break what happens in the GNU, including what happens to my job.
All right, but Sihle, let's just talk about what kinds of stuff you want to cover on your show, because I know that you mm-hmm. you're more interested in some things than others. Obviously, politics can get very boring and tedious. We can easily get distracted in this country, and often are. We're very easily distracted by race stuff. We're very easily distracted by, you know, AfriForum meeting with U.S. delegations in Washington.
Allegedly.
I mean, this stuff seems to just drive people absolutely crazy. What do you think the biggest issues in South Africa are, and what are the things that you want to focus on?
Absolutely. Again, what you're going to see on the show is what I've been doing perhaps for the last, 6-7 years, I think, which is talk to ordinary South Africans. Yes, the show will probably every now and then have a high-profile guest, whether they're a politician, a thought leader, or whatever the case may be. But effectively, mostly what we'll be doing is taking issues that are in the news cycle, putting it to ordinary South Africans on the ground, and bringing you those segments and then the analysis on the show. That will be the whole point to talking point, is having you hear what fellow South Africans are actually saying about given issues. And some of those issues might be politics, yes, but a lot of them will be issues that I think really define what South Africans really care about. And again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, take a moment, go to my channel on YouTube and have a look at the What South Africa Can Be campaign that I did, which did exactly this. Ahead of the election, I traveled literally the length and breadth of this country, talking to South Africans from small dorpies, big towns, and of course, major cities, asking them, what can South Africa be? And doing so through the lens of various issues that polling and data shows that South Africans really care about.
I love
education,
this.
Safety and security, and healthcare, and other issues. Go ahead, Gareth.
What I love about this is that you've done the heavy lifting already in terms of asking South Africans what they care about and what kind mm-hmm. of a vision they see, because we know our politicians aren't going to provide us with a vision of the future. They don't have any. So we have to come up with it ourselves. What kind of South Africa do people want? What would they really like? What are their priorities? Give me like a top five of things that people are grappling with and dealing with on a daily basis, and things that they'd like to see South Africa move towards.
Absolutely. You very quickly find out when you actually speak to real on-the-ground South Africans that the issues they care about are miles apart from what the politicians who affect to trade on their behalf claim that they actually believe. And, you know, you'll have a politician stand in the pulpit and say, well, actually, people care about, you know, the land. And, you know, they want to expropriate properties across the country. Indeed, they want people want us politicians, they'll say, to have all the power to make decisions on who are the winners and losers in society. And when you then talk to ordinary people and say, hey, man, what's your top 10 priorities? Land is not even in that top 10. It's sort of, if you look at the polling data, it's usually around issue number between 12 and 15. Okay. And at the top three, top five issues, if you will, that people really care about are linked around four values that South Africans share and that often politicians trying to divide us about. And Gareth, please give me 30 seconds to hash this one out.
Go for it.
I always say the values that my show stands for, my channel as the Big Daddy Liberty Channel, is this idea of who we are as South Africans, the common thread that ties us together. It's faith, the flag, our love of country, not necessarily love of government or politician, but love of country. Mm-hmm. Faith, flag, family as an institution that builds. It's the first building block of any functional society, the family. Right. And of course, freedom. These are the very things that South Africans care about and that we have commonality. We find commonality amongst each other: faith, flag, family, and freedom. And, you know, there's an extra one that I'll tag on there. It's very recent, but I won't get into that, which is facts. South Africans love facts. They like being well informed on the issue. So that's then what the show will represent. And it will represent, if you will, from that perspective, from that prism, if you will, the key issues that South Africans talk about most, which is, am I safe? Am I living in a society where I can almost guarantee that if I go out for a run or a walk, if I'm driving to work, whatever the case may be, am I actually safe in this country? Safety is almost the number one issue if you look at data and polling in this country. The second issue is around safety and security, of course, is also education.
Yeah.
Do my children have the best opportunity, the best shot at escaping these sort of grinding levels of poverty that have defined South Africa, especially Black South Africans, since our colonial apartheid and even today in the society? And education, we've always understood. And this is where politicians fluff things up a bit, you know, by saying, no, real empowerment is about some deal I give you as a politician that creates a phony network that then becomes corrupt. But actually, South Africans understand that real empowerment is a solid quality education that allows people to pursue their interests and indeed transition into the economy. And of course, the last one, in terms of just me mentioning the top three, is on healthcare. Is the healthcare in this country allowing me to be able to replenish my labor, be healthy, and an effective contributor, if you will, to society and the economy? I'll add one more, which is the economy. Actual jobs. Mm. Again, it's actually around number two. I don't know why I put it at number four. But in any event, it's those four issues become the mainstay of what is on the tongues of South Africans. And unfortunately, if you watch the mainstream media, if you listen to our politicians in this country, that's not the four issues that are often being discussed.
No.
Gareth, you rightly pointed out that we're talking about Donald Trump and, you know, whether AfriForum is doing this or that or other sort of, again, I won't call them frivolous issues. They are issues in them themselves. But the core issues that define what South Africans think about, how they dream, if you will, about what it is to be a South African, no one is really having those conversations. And I'm hoping my show will fill that gap.
I love this. Okay, so Conga Chris points out, Big Daddy Liberty says, flag, family, freedom. This is what IOL will say. Is Big Daddy Liberty a black face of right-wing white supremacy?
Well, I don't know who's IOL Independent Online.
Yeah, those
guys. I don't know what the reference is.
Yeah.
But no, you know, what people sort of weirdly dismiss as right wing is arguably what the vast majority of South Africans believe in. Again, don't take it from me. I mean, if you want to dismiss me as the crazy right winger, it's amazing how classical liberals and libertarians are now right wingers. But nonetheless, if you want to dismiss us as the crazy right wingers, okay, then fine. Talk to most South Africans when you walk down the street, and they too will echo sentiments that revolve around these core principles, these core tenets, their faith as South Africans. And again, I'm not being prescriptive. You know, South Africans are mostly 86% Christian country. You know, there are other religious groupings too, a strong Muslim community, strong Hindu community, you know, in Durban, where I'm from. Shout out to my Hindu folks.
Yeah.
You know, you have very, and these religions define our values to a large extent. Mm-hmm. And again, when I talk about faith, it's more along those lines, that we're based and grounded people by a lot of these principles. A love of South Africa, the flag, you know, whether we have our disagreements with government is irrelevant. The point is, if you see a South African abroad, again, all you need to do sometimes is travel to see what I'm talking about.
And actually,
if you meet a South African, exactly, if you meet South Africans in some airport in, you know, Addis Ababa, whatever the case may be, you guys will strike up a conversation as if you're family.
I couldn't agree more. And I think Congo Chris makes the good point here that being mildly centrist these days means you're basically Hitler to some people. Derek Barker says, I love Sitle's views. About time he graced our screens on the show. Well, he's got his own show coming up again, and he'll be returning gloriously. Okay, then 16% of GDP going to state wage bill, unsustainable. Any comments on that from Kevin?
Yeah, it is. And again, you'll forgive me, I'm slightly conflicted in this one because I'm part of that demographic. But again, I think the principle still stands, though. And even as a government official, I will say this. There is a need for us to reprioritize effectively how the state spends money. You want more and most of the money. Firstly, you want most of the money to be in the hands of actual South Africans. The state shouldn't be taxing as much as it does. And it's, this is the principle which I brought with me into government, because again, remember what I said, when we took the decision to enter this GNU, you know, when my particular minister said, hey man, do you want to come onto you know, this ministry because you are actually a farmer? That's the basis in which I joined this particular ministry. You know, I said, you know, I do so on the understanding that, you know, there are certain ideas that I bring that I'm hoping will gradually try and put into the state lexicon and indeed the political lexicon as we try and reform government. And one of those is that government should be much smaller than it is. And that actually the resources should be, the power and the resources, pardon me, should be in the hands of South Africans. It's one of the things that we're trying to do from our perspective in terms of driving these sort of reforms. But to answer the question directly, it is too big. And it is a conversation that the politicians, at the very least, have to have insofar as the decision makers, the decisions they make, pardon me, from a policy perspective.
So just tell us quickly, because you kind of referred to the fact that you're a farmer. Tell us about that, because people don't necessarily know unless they've been paying a lot of attention to what you've been doing over years now. But tell us a little bit about your background. Give us a bit of context for Sihle Ngobese.
Absolutely. I'll be very brief on this one because I am a bit private for as much as I'm a public personality in a sense. You know, but I'm a third generation farmer. You know, my grandfather started a sugarcane and gum tree plantation in KZN, which he grew with his sweat, blood, and tears up into becoming a somewhat commercial-ish enterprise. Now, it's fallen into a bit of disrepair when he died, but, you know, his son, if you will, then took over the enterprise, built it up, and I, to an extent more recently, have also tried to run the enterprise. So farming is very much within my blood. And again, if you look at the people who come from my area of KZN, in fact, most KZN residents, you know, we'll have some form of rural homestead that we have, where there is either a agricultural entity, or rather business there, or an emerging one happening there. So farming is very much in the blood of a lot of South Africans. The real issue becomes, in terms of my personal interests, what does the policy environment allow for? You know, often when you talk about agriculture in South Africa, it's the first thing people do is racialize it. Oh, those rich white farmers, they'll tell us. They're hoarding all the resources and they're yapati, yapata.
Yeah.
But in reality, farming is not about that. It's a community. And it's a community that's desperate, if you will, for a policy environment that is enabling, that's based on creating freedom and access to trade. And where there are those individuals who are emerging and up and coming, most of whom happen to be black, the state should play some role in giving them a leg up with the view of them becoming commercial, self-reliant, self-sufficient is what I think I was looking for, and of course, accessing markets. So those are my interests. Those are the things that drove me to say, okay, cool, I'll give it a shot and enter this GNU if I can bring the ideas that I can advance, pardon me, and grow that agricultural sector and do so from three perspectives. One, giving people access to finance and capital so that they can grow their businesses. Number two, securing their property rights. Property rights is not just a black or a white issue. It's a all farmers and indeed all South Africans issue. If you don't have secure access to your property, whether it's the ownership and the ability to transfer it yourself, then farming cannot happen in South Africa. That's why we are wholly rejecting things like expropriation without compensation or any of these dubious ideas that seek to undermine property rights. And of course, the last one is access to markets and trade. These are the things that create real wealth, especially for emerging farmers. That's how we build our income. And that's the whole purpose, for instance, as to why I joined the GNU and my background as a farmer.
I love it. All right. So here's a good point from Carl. He says, it's unbelievably easy to fix this country's problems. Anyone with enough power and half a brain could get us to 5% growth in less than 12 months. I mean, do you think our economic problems are self-imposed? And by self, I mean that the government has caused these problems for us. Because I just see a lot of real hustler culture in South Africa. I see a lot of people who are doing the best they can to bring money home, to be able to put food on the table. I see people starting little spaza shops and businesses and caravans that sell food and, you know, all these kinds of things that people don't seem. It's not like South Africans are lazy. It's not like we're sitting there waiting for handouts. We are actually very pragmatic people. And you mentioned conservative values, but We're also very pragmatic. We will do what we need to do to put money in the bank. So is it as simple as the government has made it hard for us to do what we need to do? Or are there other extenuating factors?
No, absolutely. I'm just saying the short answer is yes. You know, the state, unfortunately, for the past 30 years has been a tool, an instrument for actually, on the one hand, denying some South Africans opportunity, whether it be economic or whatever the case may be. And on the other, trying to inject itself into all aspects of South African life. I mean, this is a conversation, if you listen to some organizations that sort of share my worldly view or worldview, will say is counterproductive to the sort of South Africa that we say we want it to be. You know, the state should be at best a referee, an arbitrator of our disputes as South Africans. And really, there's only really three roles to the state. The first is to protect us from foreign aggression. That's why we have a military, a diplomatic corps, a presidency, if you will, to an extent. The second is to protect us from domestic issues, whether it's the petty criminal or armed, super violent, cash in transit criminals, or whatever the case may be, but to provide a police force, a correctional system. And of course, the last one is to arbitrate our disputes. You know, we're a country of 11 languages, multiple cultures, 60 million people. Of course, at some stage, we'll have disputes amongst each other. And therefore, you want a society that has a functional justice system to be able to arbitrate our disputes. Those are the three and only roles of the state. How you then build that state to accommodate those three roles is perhaps why I argue the state should be much smaller in its scope, but indeed also it honors those three functions. So yes, it is actually rather easy to fix our problems as South Africans, but we need to understand what the role of the state is and then begin and build our society out from that, where you want a society where the individual, and really I talk a lot about individuals as a classical liberal, but really we're a family society, Gareth. And insofar as I mentioned individuals, I'm talking about families. Families should be as self-reliant, self-sufficient, and empowered, and income-earning, so that whatever the state or government does, or politicians do, becomes rather irrelevant to them, because they themselves are, you know, self-sufficient, as I said, self-reliant, and income-earning.
That's lovely. All right. I look forward to your show, and we will be announcing very, very shortly when all of that's about to take off. And thank you very much, Sihle Ngobese. We will catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Gareth. Good to have you. Good to be on the show.
Excuse me. I'm on your show. You're on my show. Let's go. All right. I love it. Thank you, Sihle. Very good to see you. All right. So we've got just a couple of minutes left of this morning. I see a couple of interesting comments here. Dirk Kutsia says, the informal hair salon sector is worth over 50 billion rand. That's why we don't have riots every day, because the unemployed are hustling and the ANC know it.
It's massive.
Yeah.
The in fact, one of my clients is an ethnic hair care brand, so I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Conga Chris says, good show today, no matter what Mapelo says. We've got a military and one working jet. I saw a funny thing yesterday. You know, I think we have one or two boats, naval vessels that are in working order, right?
Yeah.
Which is less than Jan van Riebeek had when he landed here in 1652, because he had three. Okay.
Yeah.
How embarrassing is that?
Goodness
1652's
me.
Navy was stronger than now. Unbelievable. Sure. All the research on understanding has been done to death. We know how to fix things, just get the right people to implement it. I think that's spot on too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Every time you start a new year or a new government period, it always starts at the bottom, which is research, and then it never gets to an implementation phase.
It gets stuck at research.
Yeah.
Very irritating. All right. That's all we got time for this morning, but we will be back on Wednesday at 6 a.m. bright and early. Hope you have an awesome week this week, and you can definitely feel like summer's done, huh?
Yeah, I think we're done.
Summer's done. There's no more kind of going around in t-shirts and,
well, I'm in one short sleeve.
It's gonna be chilly soon.
Yeah,
time for fires and getting all that
electric
together.
Blanket on.
All right, have a good week.
Who's there?
No, I'm knocking.
No, I'm knocking who?
I'm knocking. It's your turn.
Oh, right.
We interrupt this program for an important news item.
World leaders held an emergency summit meeting in Zurich today after spy satellite pictures revealed a buildup of foreign missiles in space. General Zod, rebel leader of planet Krypton, told our reporter earlier today, I am about to conquer the world.
Conquer the world?
Well, that's what he said.
We're doomed. We're doomed. There's only one man can save the universe.
Yes. This is a job for Cooperman.
Excuse me. I'm Bent. No. Clark Bent. I mean, he's got a telephone box.
It's on the wall over there.
Thank you. Another woman. I feel a change coming on.